Now stay tuned for Aapka Kya Vichar Hai? What is your opinion?
Hello and welcome to Aapka Kya Vichar Hai? What is your opinion? Program that gives food for the thought. I'm Sheila Dandekar.
And I'm Dan Solanki.
Well, we have a guest speaker at our studio today. We have a great privilege of having Professor B.J. Pimpirkar here. And it's not his first time. I'm sure if you hear his voice, you may recognize him. Welcome, brother.
Thank you. I'm privileged to be here today.
Well, we do appreciate your taking time of coming. Professor Pimpirkar has come here for speaking in many different conferences, and he just finished his discourse at Marathi Krishti Sammelan that was last weekend. And we just enjoyed him so much. He is so well knowledgeable in history, in geography, in Christian scriptures, in Hindu scriptures of all. Now, if I start naming them, he may name some of them in his talk, but we were just blessed so much. Enlightened and educated this weekend, and we thought it would be a great avenue for you to share in that vast knowledge of his. So Dan is going to proceed in asking him some questions, and if it was a live show, you could have asked him questions, but unfortunately we are not live on the station.
No, we are not.
But no, you're most welcome to send in your questions, because he will be here for a few weeks, I suppose, and we will be very happy to entertain your questions. We'll pass them on to you, and we can either answer them via email, or we can even give you a call. So feel free to take notes what he is telling, and ask him whatever you may want to inquire of him. Well, Dan, take over now.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, we are handling a very, very important topic. Nothing less than the quest of life as seen through some of the men that have been referred to in the Old Testament, in the scriptures. And we will be able to see, by looking at different parts of the lives of these people, as to how they were able to get their quest of life itself. All of us, in some way or the other, have a quest of life itself. We have many questions and so on. Beginning with scientists, in fact, according to the latest theories of DNA and so on, that all of mankind has a DNA which is so similar that they can trace it back to a single couple who are called Y chromosome Adam and mitochondrial Eve. This is not a supposition. This is established by using the DNA code, by understanding it, and by studying genetics backwards. But we are talking about a different couple. We're talking about Adam and someone else.
What?
And the first thing we're going to ask Professor Pimpirkar is, God actually asked Adam a question. And we want to know from him a little bit more about Adam, about the question that God asked, and the implications. What are the implications of that question? So with that question, I'm going to look to you, Professor Pimpirkar.
Thank you. When the first man was created, as the scriptures say, because of the man, he was called Ish, and the woman was called Isha. As far as their gender is concerned, they were to live as long as they could, but later on we find that when he was made from the material, the mud, the red earth, and hence he was called Adam, because Adama means red soil. And from him, a woman was created and they were commanded to produce, multiply and spread all over the earth. But we read from the Bible that in the third chapter, Adam and Eve were given a commandment not to eat the fruit of good and evil, tree of good and evil, but they disobeyed, and this disobedience caused death to enter in this world. And when death entered, Adam and Eve, instead of searching for God for solution, they ran away.
Uh-huh.
Hence, they were wandering. And Adam and Eve are the first wanderers.
Wanderers.
Our forefathers, the first family, away from God. And it is God mm-hmm. who went in search of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the truth is, man in his sinfulness does not search for God.
Very important
point. But on the other hand, mm-hmm. he runs away from God.
Ah.
But God of the whole creation, God of the universe, uh-huh. went searching after him. And hence he asked this question, Adam, where art thou?
Adam, where art thou?
And so, what a graceful God he is.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't want us to be wandering all the lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But he comes after us with all the mercies, with all the grace. And he came after him Adam was hiding. Sin makes man fearful and hide from the living God.
Mm-hmm.
Because death rules over him.
Mm-hmm.
And God asked, where are you? And Adam answered, I am afraid.
I am afraid
and I am hiding. And God confronted him, have you committed this sin?
Uh-huh.
Have you disobeyed? Have you eaten this fruit? And Adam confessed.
Yes. Okay. So that was a very important question. And I thank Brother Pimpricker, Mr. Pimpricker, for bringing this out. That God came after him. While, even when I was young, I was searching after God for a little while. And of course, because of sin, as was explained, could not find him. Well, now, when Adam had confessed that he broke the one simple law that God had given to him, the one simple command, then something was done by Adam to cover his shame, but God took it one step further. What did God provide for Adam? And what is the inference that we can draw from what God provided for Adam?
Well,
Professor
may
Pimpricker.
I say something before
yes.
that?
Go ahead.
While you said Adam confessed, he did not confess. He blamed Eve for it.
Okay.
He blamed Eve for it, and I would say that in spite of he blaming somebody for his fault, God still was looking for him and caring for both of them.
That's true.
Yeah, okay, Professor.
Even though he said, because of Eve I ate,
uh-huh.
but he confessed I ate.
that was different.
And when he found his great knowledge by eating that forbidden food, he found the great knowledge was that he is naked.
Naked.
Yeah.
And then when he felt very shameful,
uh-huh.
he applied the leaves
uh-huh.
around his waist mm-hmm. and was trying to hide his nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
that's very temporary.
Very.
Yeah, it's not permanent. So when God searched after him
mm-hmm.
and came face to face, brought him to himself, and then God provided the leather clothes, the skin clothes of an animal, and cannot be skin taken out unless the animal has to die.
Yes.
Mm.
And the blood was shed right in front of the eyes of the first couple,
mm-hmm.
and they realized the horribleness of sin, and they realized how hard it was that animal to die in their place, to get them to be covered permanently with the skin clothes. And so hence, not only Adam was wandering before God searched for him,
mm-hmm.
but when he came to God, God washed him with the blood. Because we read in the scriptures, without the
shedding of blood,
there is no remission of sins.
Right.
And hence, Adam was provided that clothing by God, and being washed, what an experience.
Mm.
And that would indicate us to look towards the Calvary, where Christ shed his blood permanently, once for all. But meanwhile, from paradise, from Eden till Calvary, 4,000 years almost, humanity had to wait
That's
for the
right.
permanent sacrifice God to provide. Not just the worldly animal lamb, but the Lamb of God came. And so, this is a type of Christ, the Lamb of God, providing his blood to wash us and clothe us with his righteousness.
Wonderful. The point was made clearly by Professor Pimplaker that that was a temporary covering, even though it was permanent in the sense it was much better than the fig leaves. It was much better than a leaf. But the permanent covering, the point of the permanent covering, is the perfect animal sacrifice. Not an animal at all, but Jesus Christ himself. That was the full atonement.
Mm-hmm. Professor Pimplaker also brought out, and this is a question probably a lot of times we have, and many people do have, is why sacrifice? And it is, you did explain that without shedding of the blood, but many people think, like you explained in the Sammelan we had, that image of sacrifice or the point of sacrifice is practiced in practically in all different groups or religions.
And that's true.
And can you just briefly touch on that? Because that was very interesting to me to know that thought is still there, that sacrifice has to be there. Although some of our people do not, just like you said, that for Adam and Eve, it must have been horrible sight to see that
that's
animal
correct.
Being killed.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we don't have that. And we don't like that today either,
mm-hmm.
but many of the people, like you mentioned, at the time of the hair cutting or the marriage, they do have kind of a symbol of sacrifice. Would it be okay to touch on that?
Because Adam and Eve are the first parents of whole humanity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And naturally, when sacrifice was introduced through them, it was carried on for a longer time.
Yes.
And when God chose the nation of Israel, it was documented in
okay.
the law. And hence, sacrificial system was authorized through the Jews. And all over the world, humanity spread, being coming from Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
They carried on this sacrificial system in a broken form, sometimes lamb, sometimes cow, sometimes bull,
mm-hmm.
sometimes sheep, and it is still carried on all over the world. But though how long that was to be carried out, because as long as God provides a permanent lamb, that was to be carried on.
Mm-hmm.
And now, hence the Lord God has provided the permanent sacrifice,
yes.
and people who have come to know that themselves, they have stopped sacrificing.
They have stopped.
Because finally the ransom is paid through the blood, not by the blood of the lamb or goat.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have forgiveness in that.
Mm-hmm.
God is not pleased in the sacrifices of animals. So God provided innocent lamb, sinless, his only son, and sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. And those who have come to know that and have accepted it, they don't need to have animal sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
But wherever the gospel is not yet preached and not known, people still carry on the sacrifices, not only in the jungles of Africa and India, but even civilized people still have this system of sacrifices. And hence, we put before them, no more sacrifices needed,
mm-hmm.
because God has provided permanent, once for all, innocent Lamb of God. Just mm-hmm. come unto Him, take His sacrifice in your place, call upon Him, and forgiveness is provided through these final sacrifices. All other sacrifices from Adam's time till Calvary are types
only
of the
types.
Lamb to come.
Mm-hmm.
And hence, this is the most important.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was remembering was what you had said, that even although different groups may not do the blood-shedding sacrifice, but in symbol, they do different things that would be breaking of a coconut or something that they would, as a symbol, although it won't be a blood, but that thought is still there that there has to be a sacrifice.
So surely it is. Uh-huh. In countries like India, Indonesia and other neighboring countries, when the animal sacrifices were stopped because of the influence of some other religions like Buddhism, later on they shifted it to the sacrifice, symbolical sacrifice, breaking a coconut. And that's also sacrifice. And not only that, some castes in India make a cow out of wheat flour, putting jaggery inside,
is
and
that
they
right?
cut that at the time of marriage. It
oh.
is still done.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only animal sacrifices, but animals were also symbolized, making of a wheat flour and also breaking the coconut in front of their favorite deities.
Mm-hmm.
Even while cutting the first hair of a babies, especially the baby boys, the lamb or sheep is cut. And if not, then at least the coconut is broken before the worship.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was very informative to me, and that's what I thought I wanted our listeners to hear too, because that is something that is a great point. Well, we'll take a break now for the song. Today we chose a song from Mehnaz's album, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Naya ek din aaya.
Naya phir din hua. नया फिर दिन हुआ पुरानी रात का नया फिर दिन हुआ पुरानी रात का करें तो शुक्र हम खुदा की जात का खुदा की जात का नया फिर दिन हुआ पुरानी तेरे सो शुक्र हम खुदा की जात का खुदा की जात का नया फिर दिन हुआ
नया
Enjoy the music. We didn't play this in a long time. Today we are talking here with Professor Pimprekar. He is quite studied, and we thought this question of quest of life would interest all of us. It did help us a great deal over the weekend when we had the Sammelan. And we, so far, we talked about the first man, Adam and Eve, and the way God came looking for them, searching for, where are you? Because he was wandering, and then God provided a way for his disobedience and made a way for him. And so now we'll take up from there on, how did the mankind progress after that, or did he? So Dan, take over.
Okay. Well, we are now looking at the legacy of Adam. And of course, Adam and Eve were examples to their children and so on. So the question is, when they saw, the children saw this worship that Adam and Eve gave towards God, what happens to approach God as you're approaching anyone? How is worship acceptable to God? And how did the children of Adam and Eve learn about this acceptable worship? So what worship does God accept or reject?
It's very interesting to look at the first couple, Adam and Eve. Once they were brought out of their wandering condition mm-hmm. by God himself, providing a sacrifice for them, life was restored, God brought them unto himself,
mm-hmm.
and then this family continues further as God had commanded them to multiply,
right.
live a blessed life. They taught their children how to approach to God,
right.
The way to approach God through the sacrifices. And we know the first two sons brought their offerings, but the eldest son, Cain, did not bring the offering that had blood in it.
Mm.
And hence he rejected the God-given way to approach him, the right,
right
way to approach God. But his younger son, Adam and Eve's younger son, Abel, brought a lamb as a sacrifice, and
right.
hence this man was found worshipping God as he commanded, and example was set by his own parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we find the first family not no more wandering, but washed by the blood, mm-hmm. covered with his skin, mm-hmm. and now worshipping God in spirit and truth as mm-hmm. God had shown them the way.
Right.
And as a result of being washed, the result was they became the worshippers of
worshippers.
God. And hence, unless we are restored, unless we are forgiven, we cannot come to God.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we are forgiven and washed, we cannot worship Him. And hence, we still are away from God without being washed. Hence, no worship.
It is fascinating that it is put exactly in that way, because God rejected Cain's worship, but He accepted Abel's worship. I'm not asking this as a question, but I wonder what was obvious, whether fire came down, took the sacrifice, or whether there was no answer at all. It's just a suppositional question, but there is little doubt, and Scripture doesn't have anything to say about it, but there's no doubt about one thing, that the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice, was acceptable as the prerequisite to worship. And so, Abel did the correct offering. Well, we will talk about this more, and Professor Pimpreker could add a little more to this. However, I'm going to go just a little bit further, and I'm going to ask him, what is the result of man worshiping God as Abel worshiped God? And we can also go back and talk about the offerings.
As we look towards the progressive revelation further in the Scripture, we find that not only the offering first, but the offerer is accepted by God first.
Mm.
So Abel was accepted and then his offering.
Him.
Progressive revelation tells us that the way God accepted the offering, it was the Spirit of God sending the fire upon that offering mm-hmm. and consuming it then and there.
Yes.
And it was a sign that God
accepted it.
And when once the offering was accepted, man saw that he is accepted by God, his offering is accepted, he fell prostrate before him, dedicating himself.
Mm.
And hence, in Enoch we find this dedication.
Uh-huh.
And the result of this dedication is, he started walking with God,
okay.
communing with God, fellowship with God. And we look to this. Who can walk with God? Only one who has dedicated himself to God.
To God.
Who can dedicate to God? One who is rightly worshipping God. And who can worship rightly the Lord God? One who is washed by the blood.
Mm.
And who is washed? One who was wandering in Adam before.
That is a marvelous set of steps. It is exemplified through all these people. And at Enoch, the walk takes its final, total, and blessed way. He walked with God to the point where he was translated. Now, the word translation does not mean from one language to another. But he kept walking with God. He did not see death at all. Well, obviously, Enoch's actions pleased God, and Enoch was one of the descendants of Adam and Eve. Beyond this, many years have passed. We're talking about people who have lived through millennia. And now we come to something else. There was a person whose actions pleased God. What he did pleased God. But what is the basis? What kind of work can you do to please God? And who did a work to please God?
It's interesting to see through these men. Just before Enoch's walk with God, we find another man, His name is Enosh. And he realized that his weakness and need of God. And he is the first man who called upon God in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But prayer points to need. That's not worship.
Right.
Thank you points to the gift, but the worship points to the giver.
Wonderful.
And unless we know the giver, we cannot worship. And hence, Enoch, dedicating himself to God, was able to walk with God and know Him more and more, day by day.
Mm-hmm.
What a communion it was.
Wonderful.
But because this happened, we find that next believer, called Noah, he was, Noah means rest.
Rest.
He was resting in God.
Right.
Who can rest in God? One who walks with God.
That's great.
And so Noah was resting. God had a work for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
One who is resting in God, only that person God employs, gives him work. Work to do with his hand and witness through his mouth. And Noah, what a symbol. 120 years he witnessed to the world of that time.
That's right.
That flood is coming. Repent and turn to God. And he was showing that his witness through his work.
He was building
the ark. Ark for protection. Ark for salvation. And even though he preached to that world and was free from their blood. Hence, gospel is preached not only that people might turn and be saved, but every believer wants to be free from their blood.
Mm-hmm.
That I did not hesitate to witness to them. And so, Noah found a work.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was good steps you brought out, but something you mentioned about prayer, that one of the person called to God in prayer. So my question to you, Professor, is that when you say that worship, you talked great about worship, but then prayer. Now, many people, you say prayer, we pray for the need. And worship is different. Worship, we adore God for what He has done. But can anyone pray and for the need, although they don't have this washing of sin or relation with God as a personal? Can we still have? Can God answer our prayer when we call on Him for need without worshipping Him first?
It's very wonderful that Abel was worshipping God. Enos comes after him.
Mm-hmm.
And because Abel was worshipping God, he knew God in Adam. And so, because God is worshipped in Abel, Enos comes after that, after the death of Abel.
Mm-hmm.
And Enos, in his weakness, felt to call upon God. And so, calling upon or praying is done only when we know God. And Enos called. But only thing I wanted to say, that praying to God, is asking from God. But when we worship God, we give to God. Prayer is focused on the need. And when the need is met, thank you is focused on the gift, but worship is focused on the giver, the person of the giver, God Himself.
But does God answer prayer
who
don't know Him in worship, who don't know Him personally, or who don't recognize His place in their life?
Sometimes, generally, in creation, all human beings are children of God. God does answer. But in a particular way, a born-again believer has a more privilege and acceptance with God. And he definitely is privileged and promised that God would answer him.
Mm-hmm.
Will God ever reject or not answer a plea for forgiveness of what a person has done, the recognition that a person who has done something wrong, and he asks before God, will God ever reject that, Professor?
No, God is inviting us all to come to Him for forgiveness, repentant, and basis is the sacrifice He has provided. Through that sacrifice, God answers our prayers of forgiveness. And hence, we need to take the basis, because ransom need to be paid. And permanent ransom is not of animals, but the Lamb of God, Christ Himself.
And so with that acceptance, we can have confidence in prayer.
Right, and promise from
God. And promise that He will answer the prayer. Well, I know you want to talk about Noah and something about that furthermore, and many other things Dan wants to ask. But at this time, we'll again hear from Mehnaz. Hope you enjoy the song again. It is from Mehnaz's album. Today we are talking with Professor Pimprekar, and we are talking about quest of life, and we are touching the points of being a wanderer and how a wanderer can be found by God, and how he can be cleansed from his sin and being forgiven and reunited to God, and again walking and worshiping God. So we are going through that line, and our question here was about prayer. But before that, I do want to give you our phone number and our email in case you have some questions that you can write down. I'll give it to you now, and again, I will give it at the end of the program if you don't have, if you didn't get it now. Our phone number here is 301-879-0474. And email is ifi@dandeker.com. I will give that again. But let's get to the conversation again. Dan, you had a question about that.
Yes. When we were talking about prayer, Professor Pimpriker, you mentioned that if a person is seeking after God, it doesn't matter who, that God listens and will provide an answer. Can you expand on that in maybe a personal way?
Yes, I'm so delighted to do that because that's my personal experience. In my early childhood, at the death of my only maternal uncle, and whole family was in panic, weeping days after day, and beating their chest and calling upon so loudly, mourning, lamenting.
Right.
And when this was little subsided, one day under the guidance of my grandmother, I was worshipping in our family sanctuary. And I asked my grandmother, how come none of these gods saved my uncle from dying? And my grandmother said that these gods that we worship have no power over life and death.
No power.
But there is God above these who holds the cord of life and death. And I said, Grandma, then why not worship Him? Where is He? I want to know Him. And my grandmother had no answer. Days go by. Months went by. Years went by. After I was sent to school, I started studying, studied most of my books. And one day, somebody handed over me a portion of scriptures, the Bible. And I started reading it. And 9 years after this occasion, I came to know Christ, the God who created heaven and earth.
Amen.
God who became human being. God who died in my place. God who saves us from death. Because He died in my place, rose again on the third day. He ever lives. And so, I found that God answered my prayer.
Wonderful.
Even though in my early days I did not know Him as God who holds the cord of life and death. But now I know. And in my life it was answered. And I found God who not only created me, but God who redeemed me, sending His only Son to die in my place, rose again. He walks with me, talks with me. And I found the life so meaningful, purposeful.
Wonderful.
When you said about sacrifices, we talked about it earlier in the show, that there was no remission without blood. And but now we don't have to do that sacrifice, isn't it? That sacrifice is done already through the Lord Jesus Christ has done. So we need not worry about the sacrifice again.
Because once the debt is paid, we don't have to worry about paying interest anymore. And hence, Christ paid in toto and forgives all our sins. And once we have that experience, we don't have to have any more sacrifice.
So we don't have to worry about having a lamb or whatever anymore. So
the
it is
final
done.
Sacrifice.
Okay.
Once for all.
Okay.
Well, that was an excellent way of putting things as to God answering prayer. We have in history, and of course in the Bible, a person named Abraham. Now, he is known quite well throughout the world. What I wanted to look at next is, what did God tell Abraham, and what did he ask him to do, why was it so unique? And what was Abraham's response to God?
After the flood situation, these God-believing families were scattered throughout the world, especially in the parts of the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And once God called this man, Abraham, who was believing in God, God who created the world, God who sustains the world, God who provided blood sacrifice, when God met him one day in his vision and called him, Abraham, Abraham, come to the country that I will show you. And when Abraham obeyed, God had promised him that I will give you children. Abraham was quite old, but God said, I will give you children. Then God said, I will give you land, and I will bless the world, whole world, your seed. That God meant salvation provided through Messiah, the Christ. And so Abraham saw this vision, heard this vision, and later on he obeyed and came to the land of Canaan, obeying. And in his lifetime, God answered and gave in his old age a son called Isaac. And hence, because he was walking under the commands of God, walking with God, going to the country where God was taking him, and he is the first yatri, the pilgrimage. And so once we come to know God, and as we walk with God, wherever God takes us, we become his pilgrims.
Wonderful.
And so God gave him in his old age his son. He named Isaac. That means causing him to laugh. What a old couple they were. God gave joy in their life, making them fruitful. And this yatri couple, this pilgrims couple, walks with God, talks with God.
Wonderful.
Before they build their house, even they built an altar to worshipping. This worshipper, this pilgrims of God, Abraham, is the model for all the pilgrims, for all the people who trust in God simply and walk with him in the journey of life. And that's why he's called pilgrims. And he realized the life is very temporary, even though God brought him in that land, but he lived in tents, showing that life is the brevity of life. Life is so short-lived. And yet, God had promised him to give that land, and God did give after his death to his people. He was called a Hebrew man with a family. But later on, it became a nation. And now it is called a nation of Israel. And the land was handed over by God as he promised. Now we know, looking at the history, at the right time, God became man in the family of Abraham and sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary. And through this, the world were provided ransom. The world was blessed through Abraham, through his seed meant Christ. And all the three promises were fulfilled through these pilgrims. And hence, what a meaningful life. Come to know God, worship him, walk with him, work with him, and be a first pilgrims, not looking back to his land where he came from, but looking forward to the city of God, whose builder is God himself.
That's right.
And what a wonderful blessing to call that as children of Abraham.
He was definitely the patriarch, and what he did was so beautifully presented by Professor Pimpricker. The analogy of folding up a tent and moving on is such a nice way to look at what our life itself is. And this man lived in faith, and all he did was move around because he, I think, in faith he saw the meaning that a city that has foundations is really something that is built of God, and it'll be there permanently in heaven. Well, Abraham had a son, as we said, in his old age, laughter, Isaac. Maybe the pronunciation might be slightly different in different languages. But it is wonderful to see that the son was given to Abraham in his old age. That son is known for something. His task. He had a task. What was Isaac's task? What is he famous for to this day?
This is a wonderful son given by God according to his promise in the old age to this man, which was humanly speaking impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. God gave him son and changed his sorrow into joy. His laughter came in his life back. And this son, so obedient, so dear to his heart, and being born in the old days of his parents, he was an apple of their eye.
Of course.
But what does he do in his life? It's very wonderful. Wherever he lived, wherever he went, he digged wells till he found water. What a wonderful thing to dig wells in the scriptures in search of God till we find the living water.
Living
water. What a lesson for every child of God, every believer in God, to dig in the Word of God and find living water to quench the thirst of life. And Isaac is a model for all further believers. And being only son, he wasn't spoiled, but he spent time in meditation, as we read in 24th chapter of Genesis. He spent time in looking to God and beholding His glory. He spent time in digging wells in the Word of God and satisfying his soul and becoming a blessing for people around him. That's what every believer need to do. Dig himself in the scripture and quench his thirst, and also satisfy others who are his or her listeners.
This is a wonderful way of encouraging every one of our listeners to, for themselves, open the Bible, read from it. You will be able to, as Professor Pimpreka just said, be able to drink of the living waters. You will have to dig. You dig in prayer, asking God to lead you, and you will definitely be satisfied by the living water that is present throughout Scripture. What a wonderful way of looking at the family of God, the way in which it has gone on to this point. Well, there was another person, and this was Isaac's son. And I remember when I got my first car, it was called a grabber. In fact, one person screamed out of a window when we were parked at someone's home, "Grabber!" And he meant, of course, as a joke, because my wife was standing right next to me. So he said that as a joke. But Jacob was a grabber. He grabbed his brother's foot when he was being born. He was a cheater. So, would you like to say a few things about Jacob's cheating and being cheated in the little time that we have left?
It's wonderful to continue with Isaac's story. I would urge the listeners to buy a copy of the New Testament or Bible and dig themselves and find the living water. And as Mr. Solanki mentioned, that to Isaac and Rebekah, his wife, a son was born. Actually, two sons were born. One of them, Jacob, that means one who grabs or cheats. And he, in the beginning, without knowing the living God or having any contact with him, he was just in a family where they feared God. but he cheated his brother mm-hmm. in buying just for a meal his birthright.
Birthright.
Then he cheated his old blind father, taking the blessings from him mm-hmm. just for one meal. But we find that because he did that, his conscience was bothering him and he ran away from his home. But God was after him. At one place, he put his head down in to rest in a night time, and God came there
uh-huh.
in the form of ladder, angels climbing up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And we read that ladder in the New Testament is Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Communication from heaven to earth to heaven and heaven to earth. And there Jacob realized, oh, here is the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to God.
Mm-hmm.
And having cheated in his lifetime, later on as a believer in Christ, believer in God, further in the land of Haran, he was cheated by his father-in-law in giving their daughters, in fixing his wages, in sharing his property. Every way he was cheated. But this man of God, a changed person, patiently bore that like any other believer, because our hope is built not upon what the world gives, but upon what God gives. And when later on he again became a pilgrimist, and while coming back, he came face to face with an angel, rested the whole night, and he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And God did bless him.
So
And he called that place Peniel, the face of God.
Well, here we see again that God is calling. We started with Adam. God came to call, looking for him and calling. And here we are ending this program by saying that God is again reaching out to Jacob. And today, God is reaching out to you. If you hear God's voice, God is calling to you. And you don't need to do any sacrifice. The sacrifice is done. Like we talked about sacrifice.
Correct.
The sacrifice is done. You don't have to come with a sacrifice, but you have to only accept the sacrifice that God has done for you. And you can be a child of God. Your prayers will be definitely answered. So accept this gift today. If you have not done so already, call on him today and he will hear you. And because he is calling you already. So if you need any help, or if you have done it, or if you have any questions, we are here to answer anything, any questions, and we are here to entertain your questions. Our phone number here is 301-879-0474. Our email again, ifi@danderker.com. Thank you so much for being here, Professor. And thank you, Dan, for asking pertinent questions. We sign off here. I'm Sheila Dandekar.
I'm Dan Salanki.